everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every single week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who really does not take it real seriously.
But who is real live today.
We're live.
Super live.
We are doing a live show for some of our Ghost Plus subscribers. It is, by my clock, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It is the spookiest time of day. Really,
it is. It does. It casts a different kind of pall over the mood when it's just so bright.
Go ahead. No, it feels more like the end of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where he's like chasing her down the road in the middle of the day. That kind of spooky.
Which is
fine.
Yeah, the people who work in the yards do the yard work out in our subdivision. Mm-hmm. They are just doing weird chainsaw dances right now. So it is. It's very fitting. And not at all comfortable.
You want to move to the East Coast, and you're getting what you paid for, really.
I guess so. I'm in the same time zone as Stephen King, and it's really coming through. But we have a lot of friends, I think, or at least some friends from overseas, from the United Kingdom, perhaps, who are here, who normally don't get to see us do this live because we're very American-centric, as we should be. But we thought today we'd give them a chance to join the fun, and fun I think we'll have. Patrick, where's your family?
My family is out running errands today. Roller coaster errands, I should say.
Roller coaster errands.
Roller coaster errands. Yeah, it's more fun than, you know, like helping me cut the grass or anything like that. So
that's true.
It's a good time for them.
Ryan, where's your family?
Ryan doesn't have a family. It's rude. It's unpleasant
super rude
to say that.
But where are you, bud?
But the cat is having a nap, and the turtle is back there swimming around. So
Benny is always having a nap.
Yeah, it's the life.
Benny lives the life of my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I guess we'll just get... Oh, no, we won't get started because, Pat, I remembered what I was going to tell you. The story I was going to tell you last week that I forgot. Mm-hmm. Mine like a steel trap. I remembered it. Last week, I was going to tell you the story of how the week before that, I went to... So I told you, a few weeks ago, we talked about my college. My university now has a medical program. Mm-hmm. And they have a whole separate building, a whole separate campus, which is actually right across the street from me. It's like 3 minutes away.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I'll go check it out. And so I went, and the dean of that college was like, yeah, I'll give you a tour of the building. It's a great building, great space. So we're walking around. He goes, what do you want to see first? And I said, well, I don't really know what. And as I was saying that I don't know, mm-hmm. he goes, let's go to the cadaver lab.
Obviously. And it's the first place you want to go.
I didn't know he had a cadaver lab. So we go up to the cadaver lab. And we walk in, and the first door has just like a regular lock, and we go in, and then the second door has like three padlocks on it. And I said, which one do you keep the cadavers in? Mm. So he unlocks all those doors. He's like, this is pretty cool. Yep. Like, I guess. It's also pretty terrifying. And he brought me into the cadaver lab. And so it's this big like classroom. Mm-hmm. Looks like a almost like a high school science lab classroom, mm-hmm. but bigger and better.
Probably cleaner. Yeah.
Not as much cleaner as you would expect. And so at the end of this long room, there were these four, and the only way I can think to describe them, they were coffin shaped,
mm-hmm.
right? But they looked like the coffin versions of, like, you know, like on movies when like waiters will come and bring food on a covered dish. And they'll do the reveal.
Oh, like a chafing dish? He's got them in chafing
dishes. Is that what
that is? Well, generally, that's the serving dish. It's called the chafing dish.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's right. So they're on these like metal platforms sitting on the tables. Right. And then over top are these like stainless steel with a little handle on top.
Yeah, with like little sterno candles underneath of it to keep everything warm for the day.
Yeah, because that's what you want for the body. You want to make it sure it's
you don't want toasty. It to spoil.
And there's four of them back there. And so it was kind of a jarring thing to see. And I was like, oh, you got four? He goes, no, we only have two right now. So there's only two in there.
And
I was
like, and then he like slowly locks the door behind you. Like, what the fuck am I doing in here?
But we need a third.
We only actually need both of those to fit you, you big giant fuck.
So we're looking at them. So I'm thinking like, is it appropriate or inappropriate to ask if I can see one? And also,
he took you all the way there.
Do I want to see one though?
You know?
So this is all going through my head.
Sure.
While I'm trying to decide if I should ask if I can see one or if that's like an uncouth thing to say.
Right. Yeah, as he like sharpens the knives right behind you.
As he puts a bib on and tucks it into his pants. Before I could even ask a question, he said, I'd love to show them to you, but I don't think it's a good idea right now.
And I said, playing hard to get. Okay, I like this.
Yeah. And I said, oh, okay, that's fine. I'm, you know, why not though? He goes, well, we used these for the summer class, and they are freshly dissected.
Oh, never mind. Good call.
I said, yeah, I think that's right. I think we should let's just go.
Yeah.
But I'm fingers crossed. Next time they get some fresh bodies, might get to go check that out. So that building is haunted for sure.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah,
absolutely. I thought it'd be cool. Like we should ask if we can do like a live episode there when you come to visit.
Oh boy.
It would go over well. It'd be great. My face feels hot. I think this gin is bad. Does my face look red?
You think this gin is bad? Is this the first time you had a drink in your life? I think this alcohol is bad. It's making my speech very hard.
I made a gin Bloody Mary, which Ryan will tell you is the whole problem. And he's wrong because gin Bloody Marys are the way to do it. But I got this new gin and I was like, well, this is a Virginia gin. Let's try it. That's a bad idea.
Is it just called Virginia or is it?
No, it's actually, I like it because it's called Axe Handle. Axe Handle Distilling.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, well, that's fun.
Yeah. It's like this because is that like the nickname for the state? Like the Axe Handle state?
I've never heard it.
It looks because it looks like an axe, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I get it.
Sure.
It's kind of cool name for state. Mm-hmm. The gin is not good.
No.
They put way too much of it into this Bloody Mary.
I'm sure they really appreciate you putting it on camera before saying this. It's not very good. Yeah, well,
they're not a sponsor. They want to keep it off. They can send us $25. That is our rate. do you have any stories you want to share before?
Nothing pressing. No, nothing really pressing.
Usually we reserve this time for very serious, important things. That's true. I appreciate you sticking to that. Well, I have a ghost story for you. And I thought since we theoretically have, friends from overseas, from Europe or from the United Kingdom, cause those are separate now. I hear. Since there, we have some of them here. I thought, well, this would be a really good opportunity to do a British ghost. So I thought we'd do a British ghost tonight. And then I realized that if I do that, I'm going to have them trying to break in every 30 fucking seconds telling me that I'm saying everything wrong. And I thought, I'm not putting up with that bullshit. So then I thought, well, we were not going to do a British ghost tonight. We're doing an American ghost.
Can it be a super American ghost? Like a real red-blooded American ghost?
In some ways, it is.
Okay.
In some ways.
All right. Fair enough. I'll make sure to point out which ways that is.
I think you'll catch up on the exciting parts. Anything else? Do. Checking my notes. No, it's gonna go domestic.
Wham!
Shit, wrong one again. Yeah, leave it in. Jack Smurl was born on December 19th, 1942, in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Oof. What do you think the etymology of Smurl is?
I actually have a note about that if you want to sit tight.
I can be patient. This one's going to pay off.
Do you know where Wilkes-Barre is?
It's Wilkes-Barre, PA. Is that what you said? I do not know where Wilkes-Barre is.
Our friend Tom worked there out of college for a while for a newspaper at the Wilkes-Barre newspaper, but he lived in Scranton.
I thought he was in Scranton when he was up
there. Yeah, or maybe he lived in Wilkes-Barre and worked for the Scranton paper, whatever. He's right there.
Regardless.
So we're in the office territory.
Oh, okay.
There's a straw. I had a hell of a time trying to figure out more about the first 30 years of Jack Smurl's life. I found, literally nothing. Now, I do great research for this show.
Obviously.
And if I can't find it for iTag, it doesn't exist.
If it's on, like, say, the second page of Google results,
gone forever.
Yeah,
gone
not going to happen. Yeah.
What I do know is that in his 30s, he married a woman. No, probably by the time he was in his 30s, I should say, he was married to a woman named Janet. So Jack and Janet had a family. They had four children, all girls, and which is good. Fully on board with going completely girl dad. I will show you a picture of the happy family.
Okay. Were they surprised by the photo? It's not just like a bad photo. Like there are people actively frowning in the photo.
This is a staged photo. This is someone told them to get together so we can take a photo.
Yeah.
And this is it.
And they were like, look happy. And they like managed to take an even worse frown and like crank it up to whatever this level is, like a -30% ish brown.
Now, I will say, I don't know at which point in our story this photo was taken. Mm-hmm. It may make sense that they're like, there's no joy. We can't. But that is the Smurl family and all their glory.
What year roughly do you think that photo was taken, give or take?
I would guess, based on everything, probably the mid-70s.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe late 70s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The mustache places it at mid to late, maybe early 80s at the most. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Jack's mustache also is pretty wild.
Oh, he had one too? I didn't even look.
So that's the Smurl family. And fun fact.
Wham!
Yes. I tried to figure out the etymology for the surname Smurl. Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking. It kind of broke the internet. There is nothing. There is truly nothing, like no results at all. Mm-hmm. No one seems really confident, but FamilySearch.org said it's an Americanized form of the Flemish name De Smul, mm-hmm. which is a nickname for a glutton, toper, or lecher.
Okay. That's a name you could have changed at any point in that long, long, long history.
Have you heard of this word toper before?
Toper, yeah, toper. Lech, obviously, I'm familiar sure. with.
But of course, you are. Obviously,
I got the tattoo back here and everything. But no, toper, I'm not familiar with.
A toper is a person who frequently drinks alcohol, especially to excess, and is often intoxicated.
Okay, yeah. I guess we needed like more words for that. Could be.
Just call it drunk. People were changing their names. I mean, just constantly when they came over here. Mm-hmm. This could have been one of those families, and it was not nope. really
happy with it.
So there's a big gap in. So the Notes app does not like the name Smurl. So every once in a while, if I say Smurf by accident, that is not my fault. that's Notes. There's a big gap in Smurl family history, not Smurf family history. That is well documented.
Yeah, almost no gaps. Like a frighteningly small number of gaps, actually.
But this changes the gaps in the Smurl family history. That changes in 1972, which is when Hurricane Agnes rolls into town. Mm. At the time, Agnes was the costliest hurricane to hit the U.S. Oof. And it caused about $2.1 billion in damage.
Oh my gosh. How much would that be today?
Let's find out. $2.1 billion in 1972 today. You're right. I fell down on the job. Usually I have this waiting for you.
That's fine.
Sorry. About $15
billion. Wow. Goodness gracious.
So it's a lot. Now, for context, the numbers on Katrina are they're pretty actually wide-ranging, but they go anywhere from $125 billion to $200 billion. Hmm. So in context, you know.
Yeah.
Could have been worse, I guess. But it's bad. At the time, again, costliest hurricane on the block, and damage was the heaviest in Pennsylvania, weirdly, where Agnes was the state's wettest tropical cyclone ever.
Oof, goodness. Probably not really prepared in Pennsylvania. Having been to Pennsylvania a couple times, hurricane readiness is low on the list.
I have never seen a hurricane shelter sign in Pennsylvania, not even one. Their sandwiches are not meant to stand up to more liquid. They can barely hold the liquid they have. It is pretty wild. Here's not to get too smart about it, but here is a chart of the storm's path, which I just felt compelled to share because this is a wild hurricane.
Oh my goodness. It spends like half its life just between Florida and like Virginia, basically.
Yeah, on pretty land? Much. Okay. And then thought, you know what? We're going to dip right back in here. Boom, 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 boom. And destroy Pennsylvania. And it got strongest when it ended, which that's not normal. Mm-mm. I don't think. I'm no hurricaneologist.
Is the hurricane the ghost here? I know I'm just kind of throwing darts here, but the hurricane's not the ghost.
I'm sorry, I asked. So that is the wild chart of that path. Where are we? Okay. So, even though the hurricane was like, it's all over the country, Pennsylvania saw the most deaths of anyone in that storm. They saw 50 deaths.
Whew. From a hurricane.
The second highest state. Yeah. Was New York and they had 24.
Goodness.
So, the flooding really wrecked a lot of Pennsylvania. And one of the victims of that flood was Jack Smurl.
Jack Smurl himself.
Jack Smurl, the man. The Smurl house was completely destroyed. So now they find themselves displaced. So they pack up the family. They move to West Pittson, which is just a little bit down the road. It's between Wilkes-Barre and Scranton. So it's not too far.
Yeah. Just try and get away from, you know, any more future hurricanes. Right. You know.
I think, gosh, we just moved 3 feet to the right. We'd have been fine. So they go to West Pittson and they buy a double block duplex style house.
Ooh, okay.
If you're wondering what the fuck that means, because I know what a duplex is. I don't know what a double block duplex is. Here is an explanation for someone on Reddit. A duplex, of course, is one building that has two separate houses. Mm-hmm. A double block house is the opposite of this. This is a property that has two buildings that make one residence. So,
I mean,
I don't fucking know.
I don't think that's a thing. I mean,
this is the singularity is right. What happened is this house.
Yeah. If I buy a house and I buy the house next to it, I don't get to refer to both of them as my house singular. Right. I mean,
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, if I buy two dogs, if I bring two dogs home from the pound, I can't be like, yeah, this is my dog.
This is my one double dog.
This is my one double dog.
Yeah, I don't see why not. It's your dog. Do whatever you want. Double. You can scar that dog however house. You want.
Yeah.
What?
My double block dog house.
I don't know. But here's a picture of that house just to really solidify. Well,
that's just one fucking house. I don't understand.
It's not. I don't. There's.
Is with there two front doors.
Oh, there is a
door. I think someone's bullshitting you about this house. I really do.
This is a duplex.
This is just a regular duplex.
This is a regular duplex.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Ryan, anyone in the chat have any ideas about what double block duplex house means?
No, not at the moment. Just mostly criticism of your Bloody Mary choices in terms of gin and
I feel like you might be digging that one on.
No, it's here. And then a couple questions, and I also had the same question when we had the photo up there, and I know that's a little bit weird on a podcast for the other listeners, but was something written on one of the girls' foreheads? Because it seemed like she had writing on her forehead.
Okay, this is a fair question. Let's see.
Yeah, let's go back to... I can see... No, that is... You know what that is? I'll tell you what that is. Wispy bangs. That's wispy bangs.
You think it's wispy bangs?
That's wispy bangs. It is. I don't know what to tell you.
Then what's this blank spot?
That's where it's not as wispy. Like, it's...
Sorry,
it what? Comes out, and then it, like, gathers. Like, it comes up, and then it, like, curls, and gathers. Are you suggesting
her bangs are going out of her forehead up?
Look, if you... if you look up wispy bangs, and that's what it is.
All right, I'm going to... Chat asked for bangs. It, and we're going to do it. Wispy bangs.
Looks a lot like that, doesn't it?
I don't think it does. I really... I don't think so. I don't know. This is a mystery lost to time. But good question.
Honestly, it kind of does explain the frown on that one. That explains one out of like seven frowns in that photo.
Anything else, Ryan, that's pressing? I guess not. He's gone. Ryan, okay, great. So we're moving on. So, I don't know. So anyway, that's their house. It's a shitty house in Pennsylvania. They needed a lot of space. Not just because they were a family of six, but also they stored Jack's parents.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, stored might not be the right word exactly.
Especially after the cadaver, after the whole cadaver story at the beginning of the podcast, storing an elderly couple.
Sure, but the parents are not well.
Okay, sure. So they are.
So they're not.
Right.
They're.
Sure. They're getting ready.
Fine, they're living with the parents.
They're getting ready to store them.
They're preparing. Pre-storage. They're in pre-storage. So they move in August 1973. Now, the house is a fixer-upper, and the Smurls decide to do a lot of the repairs themselves. And as you can see from the photo, they did an awesome job.
I'm running out of cans of spray paint for the front yard.
Now, the Smurls are very Roman Catholic.
Mm.
So they instantly get involved with the church. They quickly make friends in their parish. They are very pro-God.
Mm-hmm.
But very, as we've seen a lot on this show, very pro-Roman Catholic God only.
Sure.
And that'll be important eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not long before the Smurl family realizes there's something wrong with this new house.
Ooh, okay.
First, they experience banging noises on the walls and ceiling.
Mm-hmm. But there's like six people living in the house and then the...
Sure.
So,
pipes are bad.
Yeah.
There's actually 8 people living in the house. See, you're also thinking of them of stored goods. So it's not just me. But it's an old house, so they're like, it's the house. It was the pipes. It's the house settling.
Sure.
It
happens.
What is it? You're an engineer. What does it mean for a house to settle? I feel like a house should be settled when I move into it.
Usually that's like a temperature affecting things. Like as you know, wood gets warmer and cooler throughout the day, it shifts ever so slightly. And if all the wood in the house shifts ever so slightly, then the whole house shifts a little bit more than so slightly. And it makes just some cracking and banging noises here and there.
I have 2 thoughts. One, yes. I don't think we should call it settling. Mm-hmm. It feels like the house has just like dropped from Kansas and it's just settling in. Number 2, what if we made houses out of things that don't do that?
Like Adobe.
Like mate, for example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like cinder blocks. Yeah. Then it doesn't do that as much.
Okay, good.
In case you're really scared of your house making noises at night, you can always just build a house out of concrete.
I am, but mostly I have young children, and it's just something that we deal with sometimes. Maple, by the way, the last several nights, she will come out after bedtime and say, "Daddy, I'm still thinking about the fish." Every night so far since we talked about that.
Oh, and then it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. You're trying to break a Xanax up into like 6 pieces. Like, how small of a Xanax can I give a 4-year-old?
This may be another episode or another instance of something that the people actually listening live haven't heard yet. I don't remember if this was on the episode we recorded last. Probably was. So it's probably not out yet.
Either way,
you're all in for a treat.
It's funny without context. I'll be perfectly honest with you.
That's true. So the house is making noises. Also, tools would go missing while they're building it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it happens.
Ghosts, it's constantly. Mm-hmm. Every time we have a house or a building under construction, the ghosts are stealing the fucking tools. Ghosts love tools. What are they? Jennifer Lopez?
What?
Ben Affleck's big tool.
Oh, okay.
Hold on a second.
Dong.
Is that better? Is that help?
Yeah, that clears it all right up. Thank you.
And then old wall stains start seeping through the fresh coats of paint.
Hmm.
So that's not good.
But again, they're not like great DIYers either. So it's entirely possible they're...
Yeah, I don't know what paint they're using. I don't know. We put milk all over this wall. It's not working. Then the kitchen appliances start catching on fire.
Oh, that's bigger. That's bigger of a problem.
It's not good. I will say all this does sound very much like it could just be a shitty house like that's being rehabbed shittily. But then the house starts smelling just absolutely putrid.
Mm.
Real bad. Like it smells like something has died in the walls.
Mm-hmm. And like they keep checking on grandma and grandpa like every couple days.
They say we should not have stored them in the walls because this is getting real expensive.
Still not you? Still not you, grandpa? Meemaw? No? You're good? All right.
All right. Bring the new drywall. But then the growling noises start.
Oh, okay.
Now, the Smurls had a dog, but it was not the dog that was doing the growling.
Mm.
And the thing that was doing the growling didn't like the dog, as evidenced by the time when the invisible force picked up the dog and threw it into a wall.
Oh, no. The dog has no agency. Dog is blameless.
Dog is blameless.
Yeah.
It's worth mentioning, too, this dog was a German Shepherd.
Oh, wow.
So that's a... Hey, he's probably
that's
fine.
That's a heave right there.
But two, that's a big lift. Big lift. So at this point, the Smurls are starting to come around to the idea that their new house, it might be haunted. Sometimes Jack and Janet's mattress would shake violently. Not like in a cool, sexy way.
Yeah. Is Jack still alive at this point?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. The hurricane didn't kill Jack.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. It just made him sad.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Sorry, I suppose I worded that poorly. So the whole family's still kicking for now, and mattress would shake. Where are we here? Oh, yeah, one of the Smurl daughters was pushed down a flight of stairs, and that's kind of the last straw. So the Smurls are like, this is bad. This ghost is, throw our dog against the wall, fine.
Yeah. Who
you tilt us out of bed, cool.
Yeah.
Right? But you push a kid down the stairs. That's a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
CPS is going to have a whole lot of questions that we can't answer, and we can't keep getting these phone calls.
And if we keep answering with ghosts, they're going to stop believing it really, really soon.
So the Smurls, and remember, very Catholic, they go to the Catholic Church for help.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the priest there tells him he would love to help them. Super love it. He would, gosh, he would just be so excited to help them. But first, he needs more proof that something's actually wrong. And they don't know what else to say. Right. Like, I don't know. Everything that you've heard now.
Yeah.
This is not enough for the church. I guess they're very busy in Pennsylvania doing a lot of exorcisms.
Yeah. Much more serious hauntings going on all over the place.
It is the 70s, so. So the church turns its back on the Smurls, which is very upsetting for them. Because, again, not only are they very Catholic, but they've also built a good community with that specific church. And that priest who's like, I like you guys a lot, but this is not real. But from that point, of course, things only get worse. So Jack's mother had a heart attack when a collection of black masses floated through the home, bringing with them freezing cold temperatures.
Black masses?
Black, yeah, masses, black forms.
Right, yeah,
black.
not like Ozzy Osbourne.
No. He's walking through holding a dead pigeon.
Yeah. Okay.
No, yeah, just black forms kind of floating through the home. Mom has a heart attack. I don't know if she survives or if she dies, but she has a heart attack. Either way, it's bad.
Yeah.
And, or, you know, or fine, depending on their relationship. I want to make assumptions. So Jack then goes back to the church, and he's like, how about this? And they're like, no, not quite. We're not quite there yet.
Still no photos, Jack? Interesting. No photos.
People have heart attacks all the time.
Yeah. No Jack, recordings.
So they live with all this for months. One afternoon, the youngest Smurl daughter, she's doing homework at the kitchen table when the overhead ceiling fan starts rocking back and forth, like violently, like this.
Yeah.
Can't see. This is a podcast, so this is not great, but you see what I'm doing. So fast. So the girl's like, oh, shit. So she stands up and runs away from the table just in time because a fixture breaks loose and crashes into the chair that she had been sitting in. It was a pretty heavy fixture, so heavy that Jack and his father had installed it with 14 millimeter bolts, which had ripped right out of the wood. One evening not long after this, Jack was home alone and the rest of the family was out. And that's when Jack was sexually assaulted by a succubus in the living room.
Okay. I mean, it's kind of convenient that it waits until, you know, nobody else is home or, you know, but it's fine.
So that's a tough line. He was not, he wasn't sure how to process, that happening. He's no Lucy Liu. He's not, not excited about it. He feels
he's not embracing this.
Confused.
Okay. Yes, that's fine.
But he eventually does tell Janet, and then she says to him, thank God, I also have been assaulted sexually by a ghost in the middle of the night.
Oh, goodness.
She, for her, it was in their bed while Jack was asleep. And she did not feel great about sharing that news either. That's her telling him that she also had that same experience. That is when he finally figures out how to process it, which is anger. So Jack has had enough. The Catholic Church will still not help them. So they're on their own. It's the 1970s. There's only one place to turn.
Is it our friends?
Jack puts in a call to Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yes! Oh, thank goodness.
Do you want to explain for any listener who has missed, you know, maybe this is the first episode for some folks. Talk about Ed and Lorraine Warren a bit.
Ed and Lorraine Warren are kind of like the real life Ghostbusters. If it was instead of four, you know, vibrant New York personalities, it was two really boring middle-aged white people from the suburbs.
That's, no, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I think I got it.
You got it. You nailed it. So they call it Ed and Lorraine Warren, and they didn't know what they were dealing with exactly. So the Warrens, they come in, and they took a divide-and-conquer approach to this particular haunting. Ed used religious provocation to coax out any potential spirits.
Okay.
While Lorraine walked around the house using her skills as a medium to connect with any good old-fashioned ghosts who might be lurking around.
Okay. Okay. So he's kind of, you know, to put it into more layman's terms, he's like rattling the bush with a stick and she's mm-hmm. got the net. That's basically what I'm hearing here, right?
I think that's sure.
Okay. Yeah.
That sounds
yeah.
great.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Yeah. If like they were catching a skunk instead of a ghost is what I'm
saying. Yeah. He's trying to put him out into the open.
Yeah. Scare him out. And then she's
there to
put him in the pillowcase.
Hey friend, it's okay. Yeah.
Wet the shit out of him with the shovel yeah. in the front yard. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. So the Warrens go through, and they know there must be something there, because on their very first night in the house, Ed and Lorraine both felt the temperature drop, and they saw one of those dark masses form in front of their eyes. Mm-hmm. This happened after Ed used the name of Jesus Christ, a crucifix, holy water, and holy oil on the house. Mm-hmm. That got one of the spirits all riled up. Mm-hmm. Now, the involvement of the Warrens, of course, gets the media very interested, because this is one of their later kind of ghost experiences. So they're, okay. they're quite popular they're well already known. At this point.
Sure.
Yeah, they're well known. So the media starts getting involved. Mm-hmm. Suddenly there are reporters streaming in from all over the world to the Smurl house.
Oh, wow. That's what you want.
I don't think so. Here's a quote from their neighbor at the time. His name was Bill Watson. Everything got out of control. CNN was here on my porch. There was a camera crew from Germany in my driveway. There were so many people, I could hardly get my car out to go to work.
Hmm.
I got to stay home. Yep. Oh, God. I'm so sorry. I can't go to the mill today. Sorry, boss. I got to stay home and have my water ice. That's a Pennsylvania. That's a Pennsylvania mm-hmm. joke.
Yeah.
Any Pennsylvania fans in here? Okay. The story gets so big that the Smurl house is even visited by an actor named Jason Miller. Jason Miller played the role of Father Karras in The Exorcist.
Oh, wait. is he doing like haunted tourism now? What exactly
I
is
I think
his?
So. And okay. What a genius. Good on him. He played the young priest in The Exorcist. And he's apparently a Wilkes-Barre native. So he's right up the road.
Okay, yeah.
So I just think, dude, do you think you can help? That was a movie.
I love the enthusiasm. It really does sound like just boredom.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's, he's like, they'll probably let me in. This is kind of like my wheelhouse.
I was watching a German news magazine show last night, and you guys were on there, so I figured, why not come over, right?
So Miller, he goes and checks out the house, and he walks through it, and he doesn't think there's anything going on that is demonic. His professional opinion, and he knows.
At least nothing he saw on the set of the Exorcist movie. I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, there's no pea soup anywhere in this house. This is nothing. If you're going to have a demon, you're going to know it because there's going to be pea soup everywhere.
You try and crawl down the stairs backwards. No, can't do it. No? I don't know if it's a ghost. I don't.
Then he saw the picture of them and he's like, well, the faces do line up a little bit. Yeah. So I don't know. There's something here.
maybe that's when they took the photo when he showed up. Like, oh, do you want to get a photo with the famous famous Hollywood actor? God, no. Not this one. No,
please, God. but Miller did believe something was going on. So he agreed. He's like, you've got a ghost for sure.
Oh,
because again, expert. Mm-hmm. Expert.
Finally, the Catholic Church can agree with somebody here.
But the Warrens are not so sure about the specifics of Jason Miller's assessment. Because through their own personal research of the house and their experience there, the Warrens learn there are four presences in the house.
Okay.
Okay. There is a female child. Mm-hmm. There is an older female, maybe in her 20s, who was malevolent.
Okay.
There was a man who had died in the home decades earlier.
Okay.
I assume an older man.
Sure.
And then number four, there was an incredibly powerful demon who reigned over the house and used supernatural powers to force the other three ghosts to torment the Smurls.
Man, what a bad lot, you know?
It's tough. If you're going to be a ghost,
at least you'd want some peace, you know? Like, so. If you're going to be a ghost, be like, you know what? I'm just going to take a few millennia and just sort of catch up on
work through my own things.
Yeah, catch up on some shows that I never really got a chance to watch before, you know?
Sure. Maybe put some humans into those shows so they can crawl out of the TV. Like, I don't know.
I never did watch that latest Doctor Who season. Maybe I'll just get caught up on that. And then some demon out of nowhere is like, bullshit, you will.
Go throw that dog against a wall. Oh, I don't. Okay. Also, if you're like trying to work through your own, like, you're trying to accomplish your business, whatever it is, this demon is fucking all that up.
Yeah. I feel like I'm accomplishing your business, Demon, and I'm not okay with that.
So let's see. The demon element now is interesting because ghosts, obviously, you can handle it. It's super easy. But for a demon, you need an exorcism. Now, Miller is already come and gone, so right. You've already lost one young priest. So you're really blowing it. So the Warrens are like, you need an exorcism. And you, Patrick, you may recall from an earlier episode, not too long before this, Lorraine Warren had recently tried to do an exorcism in the basement of the Perrone house.
Yes, I recall.
That had gone pretty poorly. Yeah. Do you remember the specifics of that particular exercise?
Was this the one where they had agreed to let the mother become possessed or something like that?
I don't know if they agreed that that would happen, but it did happen for sure. The mom got possessed by the demon, and then it just so happened the kid, no one was watching the kids, and they had stuck down to the basement, and they saw their mom become possessed by this demon and start like throttling the life out of everybody. Yeah. So that was not too long, actually, before the investigation of the Smurl.
So they're kind of on the rebound at this point. They're reeling a bit, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So they're like, you do need an exorcism, but maybe we'll get someone else to handle this. Like, the insurance companies are still real mad.
Ed and Lorraine Warren show up in like, one of them's like in an arm splint, and the other one's got like one of those like big bandages over the eye. Like, okay, so we're not like batting 1,000 here. So...
we might sit this one out. Yeah. So then they call in an Episcopal priest to do the exorcism.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, the Episcopalians, no problem. Absolutely. We don't need to see more proof.
Yeah.
We're good.
We kind of rebelled against all that stuff before, so we're very, very open to this.
Also, we love relevancy, so whatever we can do to be in the news, we're into. So an Episcopal priest comes, and he does an exorcism. Now, he does the exorcism. No one gets possessed. No one dies. Super good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And the activity does dwindle to a degree, but it does dwindle. It's not gone.
Okay.
But it's lessened.
Exorcism seems like a binary thing, right?
Well, I mean, Catholic exorcism. I don't know how the Episcopalians do it.
The Episcopalians are very willing to accept the gray. I have good news and I have not as great news. The demon has agreed to live in the broom closet. But, I mean,
Let's make really? A deal, huh? Yeah, if you want it done right, you go to Rome, I guess. Mm-hmm. Catholics are, they've got the market cornered. This sort of thing. So he does a fine job and not a great job, but it's lessened. So, I mean, does he get every malevolent entity? No. Does he get some malevolent entities? Yeah.
Does he buy you enough time to sell this fucking house? I don't know. Maybe.
Depends on that German news crew and what they report.
You can get CNN off your fucking porch. You might be able to get rid of this house.
So word spreads that this exorcism has made the house better. Mm-hmm. So more news vans show up. Hoping to get interviews with the Smurls. They want to break some new info. And because the media attention is only growing after this exorcism, now, of course, the Catholic Church thinks, I wonder if we should get in on this.
Famously opportune Catholic Church. Jumping on it at the last moment.
Yeah. So they send a priest to live with the Smurl house for a while.
What is it with sending a priest to live with? This is... I mean...
Well, it's not impossible that he got bad information and he thought one of the children was a male.
This is not great. Not great.
I don't know. It is weird. It's they do move in. And I guess, really, like, if you want to...
They like, have their own houses, you know.
That's true. I mean, famously for free, that the rest of the world pays for. But I mean, I do get it. Like, if you're going to check out a ghost, the odds of the ghost actually performing when you're there are pretty low.
Sure.
So you want to be there so you can catch the ghost.
Right.
When things no one's like looking.
Like a butterfly net or something? I don't really know what the...
Yeah. Rolled up newspaper and you're ready to go. I don't know. So he moves in for a little while. And here was a quote from someone. Quote, so as not to appear cold to the situation. So they wanted to make it look like they were like really giving it the old college try.
Okay. Yeah. We're willing to be in this situation with you.
Yeah, as we have always been.
And also, if you wanted to make pancakes, that would be fine, too.
Because I don't want to interrupt your life. Like, what would you normally do?
Right. Would you normally make pancakes?
On which day would you normally make pancakes? That is when we would actually like to kind of... That'd be our second day in the house, if that makes sense for you all. So after he stays there for 3 days and then he leaves, he has seen no activity. But the Smurls still saw some ghosts. Now, not as many ghosts. Again, the Episcopalian guy did an okay job. But there's some haunting still going on. So they had, I think the Episcopalian came back out to do a second and third exorcism to try to sweep the rest of it out the door. But those two, they don't fully take. So the house is still a little haunted. Now, no one's throwing dogs against the wall. No one's pushing people downstairs. The black masses, I think, are still... Oh, yeah. There's a note here. They are still appearing.
Yeah.
But, I
mean,
you know...
Yeah, I mean, this kind of sounds... Again, not to kind of rehash things. It sounds a little bit like chiropractor sessions. It really does. Like, I really think you should set up, like, a twice-a-week exercising session with me to really just get things, you know, taken care of long-term.
As someone who has very severe lower back problems, as for a long time, and goes to chiropractors a lot, I feel seen. Thank you. Absolutely. And I just, because they do, you go to a session and it can be really helpful. And they're like, you got to come back 9 times this week. Yeah. So here's your schedule. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? I have a job. Mom, when are we going to see Daddy again? I don't know, when he finishes his back program. It's been months. So the house is still a little haunted. By 1987, though, they've lived this for a long time, but by 1987, they're like, even the little haunting is too much. So after 15 years in this house, they're like, I don't know. Maybe we should move. Now the black mass manifestation, it was still appearing. They couldn't take it anymore. They're done. So they make one last desperate plea to the Catholic Church. Like, please just come do an exorcism. Please, please.
Yeah.
Will you exorcise this house? And this time they say, okay.
Okay. Maybe they got a little change in leadership.
Could be. Maybe there was a tithe involved. Would be my guess. Like, we will give you, we will refinance this house. Give it all to the church. Please, will you come out here? Oh, suddenly I feel very compelled. Feels like an important thing to do. So they send in a priest to perform a big boy exorcism, the real deal. And now details about what actually happened during that exorcism have been kept secret by the family and by the church.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, signing NDAs over there. It's like Silicon Valley. But we know it was the longest and most powerful of the four exorcisms.
Oh, the most powerful of the exorcisms?
I don't know how you measure that.
I mean,
let's ask Ryan. Ryan probably knows. Ryan, how do you think you measure the power of an exorcism?
There are very specific tools. I've seen a lot of them on. I've seen them on the Amazon. So yeah, there's like things in it. Beep 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 and does the whole thing.
I've seen those. Yeah.
That's the one, right? You got it.
Yeah.
I feel a little like maybe I'm not quite getting it. Can you talk a little bit more about these beep, beep, beep machines?
You put it in the in the place and it goes a beep, 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 and it has lights and everything. It lights up when something's good.
What does it look like?
Like it goes back and forth, right?
It's a box that goes back and forth with the lights and depending on what happens. Back and forth. Sure,
it's like a Roomba.
If you wanted to,
like a Roomba that scoots around the house and cleans your house.
It cleans and exercises the demons.
All right, I'm on board. All right, good. Great. Okay, nice. Right.
Thank you, Ryan.
Please leave me alone.
See you later. So it's a really powerful exorcism. So and it works. The demon is finally cast out.
Wow.
Demon is gone. No more haunting. Everything is finally quiet. But the Smurls are like, they're pretty scarred from all this.
I believe it. But I mean, you finally have a free and clear house. So
yeah, but it's also kind of a bad house still. Like even like the best case ghost scenario is still worst case scenario for house.
Okay.
So they've had enough. They decide they're going to move out of the house. They sell it. And they move back to Wilkes-Barre. Smurl House was bought by a woman named Deborah Owens, and she told reporters that she never encountered anything supernatural.
Fair enough.
So the Catholic Church did it.
Wow.
You want real barbecue, you go to the South. You want real exorcism, you go to the Catholic Church, I guess. The Smurls then authorized Robert Curran, who was a writer from Scranton, to turn their story into a book called The Haunted.
Okay.
And in 1991, Fox released a 2-hour made-for-TV movie based on the book.
Wow.
That's a long made-for-TV movie.
Yeah, I mean, those are kind of those are the good old days, though, right?
Oh, man.
Made-for-TV movies. God, they were great.
So good. There was a, my favorite of all time was there was a really good version of The Shining that was done made-for-TV with Rebecca De Mornay and Stephen Weber. Wings. Yeah, Stephen Weber.
Yeah.
It was great. It was much more like the book than the original movie. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite made-for-TV movie?
Ooh, probably The Tommyknockers.
I don't think I ever saw that one.
Oh, it's a good one.
But I like we both love Stephen King.
I mean, that he's kind of the OG of made-for-TV movies.
Yeah, Saturday Movie 11 or whatever.
I particularly like made-for-TV movies because unlike a real movie or a theatrical movie where the movie runs continually from beginning to end, a made-for-TV movie, about every 9 minutes, there's some sort of climax in action, and then there's mysteriously a pause in action. And then for the next 9 minutes, more climax of action, and then a pause. It's a little jarring to watch.
It's a little uneven. Did you watch when they did the Schindler's List on TV? Like the whole thing in its entirety?
I do, yes. Yeah, my parents, I remember my parents like sat me and my sister down, like, we're going to watch this very mature movie. It's going to be unedited, but if you have any questions about it, I want you guys just to be able to sit down and watch this, and we'll watch it as a family. And we got through about 10 minutes before I was just bored to tears.
This is black and white.
This is bullshit.
Fuck this movie. You missed the nudity. Yeah. That's on you, friend. And you missed the one pink scene.
Color. Yeah, I missed a lot of things. Because I probably just turned back on like Legend of Zelda or something like that. My parents like, good enough.
So funny. They didn't do commercials for that one, but they did breaks. They had so many breaks. And it was like they would do all these little intermissions. That was like sponsored by Ford. It was just this like screen that was just like, okay, now we've just randomly stopped this movie that was made for theaters in the middle of a really important scene. And now we'll just show you this blue screen with the Ford logo for about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then we're back. And did it like 9 times.
We don't want to interrupt the majesty of the movie by advertising, say, Ford's exciting new Edge 2024 edition. But, I mean, you know it's there.
It's 1996. Right? Yeah. What are they talking about? Anyway, so made-for-TV movies are the best. That's a lost art, for sure. Anyway, so they do that for The Haunted. They make this 2-hour made-for-TV movie. It does not do very well. And you know it hasn't done very well because they haven't really repurposed it for a horror movie now, because most of the Warren's cases are now new movies, Annabelle and the others that I should have prepared to talk about. The Haunting?
Haunting, yeah. Haunting
is not The Haunted.
Right. Yeah. Is it like an Aliens thing where they're like, you know what? The first name was really good. Let's just call the second movie the same thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think this story was maybe like borrowed to do one of the Annabelle franchise movies.
Oh.
To inform the story, but it's not like its own thing.
It's in the Annabelle universe.
Probably because no one died.
Right.
Yeah, it's in the Annabelle universe. Yeah, the universe. But anyway, so that was the story. And the Smurls' life, actually, once they moved, was super normal after that. So they got out pretty clean, actually. Jack went to work for Topps Chewing Gum.
Oh. Okay, great. Good for him.
Do you like baseball cards? Do you like gum? We have a business idea. It's Topps Chewing Gum.
Do you like gum? Do you hate black masses, though? Oh, I do hate black masses. Yeah, we all do, right?
Speaking to me. I'm going to crush this interview. So he's at Topps Chewing Gum. He was a member of the Lions Club, and according to his daughter, who spoke out later, he, after all this happened, when he was part of the Lions Club, he would just be the guy flipping burgers on the grill at the Lions Club picnics. And you would never know that he had gone through some pretty harrowing hauntings in Pennsylvania. Jack passed away in 2017, actually, fairly recently, at the age of 75.
Good for him.
Yeah. And that is the story of the Smurl House. A little anticlimactic, but kind of in a nice way.
Yeah. I think they appreciate that. I think if there was a big huge climax.
I'm pretty sure they do.
And then the house folded in upon itself and we all died.
And the house got sucked down into the ninth dimension of hell and it was really weird. I don't know. And one little coda here. I don't know. We're running out of Warren stories, of Ed and Lorraine Warren stories.
Right. Yeah.
So every time I use one, it's like, it's kind of like a monkey's paw situation where it's good, but then you have one fewer and we're almost done. So we don't have a whole lot left, unfortunately. But I thought to make it a true American experience for our UK friends, that we should have the Warrens. So this was this story. Any final thoughts, Patrick, on the Smurl house, the Smurl ghosts, the Smurl demon?
No, I mean, I as you mentioned before, the horrifying family photo at the beginning of the episode makes a lot more sense now.
It's still up on my other screen. Yeah. I don't know why. It's very distracting.
Just like the most unhappy six people you've ever seen in your life. But it makes a little bit more sense now.
So. Yeah, I'm going to guess this photo was taken like mid-haunting, and they're like, this is it's a bad scene. Well, that is our episode for this week. I hope you liked it. All the notes this week were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media manager is Kai Valonis, who is back, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned this. So back, last baby. Week, remember last week when I was like, Kai's gone, and I don't know. Yeah. We haven't seen her in a long time. I mean, literally hours, like 3 hours after we ended recording, she sent me an email. Which she had of course not heard us talking about it. Right. She's like, I'm so sorry. You know, here's what's going on. Turns out she got a great new job and she's very consumed with it, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Like she's fantastic. Doing like what she wants to do. And she's like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, do not feel bad for getting a great job. That you love.
Right.
I should say we did, we did kind of bring this up in the episode. So, is that cool? So we'll see. But Kai is, she's back and she's doing some more work for us on our Instagram. So go check it out. Is this a ghost? I also, by the way, so I'm wearing my Chud Justice shirt today. For those of who are joining us now live, I was wearing it and my 2-year-old, my 4-year-old, like, what is that shirt? What's on your shirt? I didn't know how to describe a Chud. Mm-hmm. So I said, this is a zombie cowboy.
Perfect.
And then Maple started going, bang, bang. And she did that for like an hour, which was awesome. And then Ivy, my 2-year-old, said, I want to wear that. And I said, you want to wear this shirt? And she said, I want to wear it. And so right she put it on. Yeah, right now. So I took the shirt off and I put it on her. And we did a little photo shoot. And you can see, if you go to our Instagram right now, you can see a story with Ivy wearing the Chud Justice shirt. And it's pretty cute. If you ever want to see a 2-year-old wearing a Chud, now's your chance. And, you know, if you're listening to this after the fact and the story is gone and you want to see it, let me know. I don't know. Maybe we'll repurpose that a little bit. Anyway, that's all that is by way of saying this episode is over and I hope you enjoyed it. We're going to go talk to our friends who've been following along for the last hour. And if you want an opportunity to do that, we do these live episodes like 4-ish times a year, like every quarter, I think is our goal. Mm-hmm. And if you want to join us for those, join Ghost Plus. It's one of the perks. It's really fun. I think it's easy to say that when they cannot unmute their mics. But if you want to come and hang out with us before a live episode and then hear all of Ryan's wisdom and then join us for a Q&A after, join Ghost Plus. It's really fun. A lot of cool bonus episodes, a lot of bonus content. And that's it for this week. I will say, you know, don't go to Pennsylvania. Because if you do, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be the next topic of Is This a Ghost?